This morning, we are on the first Sunday of September, and that's our new business year. And we're approaching the end of summer. Do you know when summer ends? Well, actually, September 21st is the end of summer, and we enter into fall. And we enter into the harvest time. And you only have so much time to harvest crops if you're a farmer. How many of you are farmers? Many. Or gardeners. You only have so much time to get it into the barn if September 21st is ended and then those frosts of harvest come, the fall frosts come. And then you can't bring the crops in because they're destroyed by the cold of the cold nights, the frost. And so this morning I have been led to the text in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. And I'm going to read it in your hearing. Jeremiah 8, 20. This is the text for the message. It says there, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. We are not saved. Now, what happens to farmers after the end of summer and after the frost of the beginning of harvest, when you can't get them into the barns anymore, is what happened to Jeremiah, the prophet, and the people of God that he was preaching to. He preached to the people of Judah to repent of their idol worship. They kept turning away from God to their idols. By the way, people do that today too. 1 John 5 says, keep yourself from idols. And he'd warned them time and time again of God's judgment by the Babylonians if they did not repent and turn back to the God of Israel. Finally, he in Jeremiah 8:20 had to write these words, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. In other words, when the time of picking the summer harvest is past because the summer's ended and now the fall frost is beginning to come, and the fruit has not been gathered into the barn, it comes to the farmers that there's no more opportunity to save all their work. All their work is lost, and it's going to be lost forever. Individuals in the land could still repent, but the nation now would be damned and doomed to suffer great judgments. I want to say to you this morning on this first Sunday of September, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 and 2, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up or harvest that which is planted. You may notice it, I certainly notice it, that life is a bunch of seasons. And we have clear seasons in northeastern Pennsylvania. We just are completing summer, amen? And it's going to be over. Oh, goodbye to summer. Oh, I love summer. And then there'll be fall. Hello to fall. And that's a great season. But then will come winter, the frosty winter. And it can be pretty brutal here. And then back to spring. And so it goes. And God says that when those seasons come upon us, we need to recognize them and to cooperate with them. If you want to plant, you've got to know when to start doing that in May. And if you want to pick what's planted, you've got to do that before it's too late. And there is a season. God works with that in our lives. And I'm thinking of countries all around the world right now. Have you noticed it? They're surrendering to globalism and to a one world currency and to a cashless monetary system. They're surrendering to communism that the Bible said will be part of the end time one world government. They're surrendering to plandemics where they gain more control, the government gains more control over the people, and Satan is behind it because he's a control freak. And just like our date of Sunday, the first date of our new business year, and just like summer is almost over, but we still have time, so our church has been given an opportunity in this new business year to get more people saved for heaven in 2027. That's our theme. You have more opportunity. You're here today to do those things that God wants you to do and not miss the opportunities that God has for you. I think of my friend Christian Rodriguez. He was out Thursday night to go soul winning with us. And he asked me, he said, "Pastor, can I go out soul winning with you this coming Thursday?" Which I guess will be our last Thursday of summer soul winning. I said, "Absolutely, I'd like to go with you." I asked him, I said, "Have you enrolled in the class from here to Kingdom Come that you have an opportunity to get into?" He said, "Yeah, I've enrolled in it. My mother, Awilda's, in it too." I said, "Well, that's great. I'm glad you're taking advantage of that opportunity. Have you been out Sunday morning and Sunday school?" "Yes." "Sunday evening?" "Yes." "Sunday, Wednesday night?" "Yes." "Soul winning on Thursday?" "Yes." I said, "Well, that is great." And I got to thinking about it, and the summer is ended and we're not safe. Taking advantage of the opportunities to help gather in the harvest while we have that opportunity, because life has seasons and seasons are soon over. And I couldn't help but think of Christian's father. I couldn't help but think of him, Benji Rodriguez. And I couldn't help but think, for many years, Benji did not take advantage of the opportunities. And then God got a hold of his heart, and he went to church, and he said, I want to live for God. And he joined the church. He joined the church. He'd been saved, but he joined the church. And he locked in, and he got a hymn book from me, and he was going to help with music, and he was working on it. That very Sunday, after he joined the church, the next Sunday, when he got the hymn book, he was in church Sunday morning. That afternoon, I got a call from Awilda, and she said Benji was on the floor, and they were trying to resuscitate him. He had a massive heart attack, and he was gone. Christian's father. And I couldn't help but think that Christian, by seeing what happened to his father, and by God taking his father, God's given you an opportunity at this season of his life, when Christ began his public ministry, you just had your birthday, saying he can take advantage and not be able to say the harvest is past and I missed the opportunity. And we don't want that to happen, because it says in Ecclesiastes, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to get up and go to church. Amen. Some people missed it this morning. There's a time to go Sunday night. Some people will miss it. There's a time you can go Wednesday. There's a time to read your Bible. Some people will miss it. I'm saying there's a time to go out soul winning. There is a time, but it comes and it goes, just like the fall comes and the fall goes, just like the winter comes and the winter goes. Christmas comes, Christmas goes, spring comes, spring goes, summer comes, and it's just about gone. What about you? What will you do in this harvest time? That's my message to you this morning. What will you do in this harvest time? And I want to say three things about that. Number one, what about you pickers? What about you pickers? Jesus said something that Jeremiah couldn't say. He said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." Brother Matt McCorder's here today. He was knocking on doors and working yesterday to bring in a harvest and bring in people on his bus route. He's a bus captain. But I was promised we were going to have a bus this week for Brother Matt. You know, having a bus is the difference between hand-picking fruit and having a combine just rolling down that fruit. Amen? He can testify to it. And for weeks, he hasn't been able to have a bus because of mechanical stuff and all this stuff and the mechanics. Well, finally, I kept talking to the mechanic. The owner of the garage is going to get the bus. And he said, yeah, you know, I'll get it. And I said, when are you going to get it? And Thursday. And he didn't do it Thursday. I called him Friday. He said, I'm going to do it Friday. And when they did it, they jacked up the back tires to put the brakes drums on and all that. They didn't block up the front tires or make sure they were locked up. And the thing rolled and the thing fell on the owner. I get a call Thursday night. He's up at CMC. I go up there to see him, pray with his family, and he had some injuries. I went Saturday because I had led the mechanic who works with him, his lady, to the Lord, and she trusted Jesus as her Savior and gave me her address. I went over there and visited, and he said, I'm going to work on the bus today. I said, well, that's good. We'd like to get it. He said, I'm going to do it. He said, the mechanic, the owner still wants to work on it. I said, oh, I don't think he should do that, but you could get it done. But he said, I'm going to get it done. So we're out visiting and inviting people. And weeks he hasn't had his bus and running. And finally, I called the guy, the mechanic, and he said, oh, I found out I need another part. I need a part for the brake line. I ordered it. It's coming from Philadelphia. It'll be here at 5. I called him back around that time. Not there. Called him at 8:30. Finally, he gets it. He says... And then I called him back and said, where is the part? Is it on the bus? Oh, I didn't get it on because it didn't fit. I called Brother Matt. Brother Matt said, Pastor, I want to put up $200 to get that bus on the road. I said, I'll match you on that. I will match him on that. We'll get that bus on the road. We'll rent the bus. I called my secretary. I said, can we rent the bus? She said, yes. It's open. I'm just saying to you this morning that what about the pickers? The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. You know what the laborers are? Jesus is saying, Jeremiah, the people didn't want to be harvested. They didn't want to be picked. They didn't want God. They didn't want Christ. But he said, Today, Jesus said, since I'm coming into the world and dying on the cross, there'll be people, they'll be ready to get saved. They'll be ready to accept me as their Savior and go to heaven and not die and go to hell. He said, the harvest is great. It's worth it. It's great. And therefore, you should treat it as great. But many Christians don't, do they? They treat it like the harvest is puny. It's piddling. It doesn't demand any time from me, any attention, or anything else. Friday night, it's kind of a time off for me, but when that happened to the owner of the bus, I felt like I should go up there, and my wife kicked me in the rear and said, get up there. She didn't do it like that, but she gently nudged me up there. And I went up there, and Matt went with me. And we got to lead that mechanics lady to the Lord. Her name is Ashley. Pray for her. And I'm just saying the harvest is great. We got to knock on doors, and I went to Marilla's place, and no Marilla. So I said, where's Marilla? And it was Stacy right here from Brooklyn, New York, and she's living in Marilla's place. And I said, would you like to come on our bus? That's that bus. She said, oh, yes, I would like that. And so we signed her up, and she has three lovely children. I'm saying the harvest is great. But what about you, the pickers? Are you available to pick in the harvest? This week, I was talking to Diane Payone, and she's a great picker. Brings people to Christ, brings them to church, brings them down the aisle, gets them baptized. Goes out soul winning with our young ladies. Celeste and Sarah went out with her, I saw Saturday, to pick the harvest. always working. But this week, she had a tough week. She was very sick this week, couldn't make it to prayer meeting, asked me to pray. I prayed for her, and she wasn't feeling well. And this week, I remember talking to her about Thursday night and how I got to lead a guy to the Lord on Thursday night. And then I said, you know, I told her what's going on as far as my soul winning. And I could see she'd been going at it, trying to, but she wasn't having much success this week. And then after I talked to her, she texted me and said, I led a guy from Xfinity to the Lord, or a person. And then and Saturday, she had three more she was reaching out to. And I thought about, listen, not only can we pick the harvest, but we can do what the Bible says, provoke one another to love and good works. What about the pickers? We can provoke one another to get involved in picking the harvest. And I hope that you're doing that. I have a daughter, and her husband got married in this church. His father's sister, her aunt, is a lady named Ellen, and she lives in Boca Raton, Florida. And she likes my daughter a lot, Brooke, and she just started sending us money, her tithe from Boca Raton, Florida, to help us to pick the harvest. How about you? What about the harvest? And I'm saying that God wants you as a picker. And the Bible says the son that sleeps in harvest causes shame. The son that sleeps in harvest causes shame. Is that you this morning, the picker? And you know, I remember I was a 9-year-old boy. I lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I was walking from Eastern Avenue back across to my house with my friend Jack Kitts. He was 9, I was 9, we're best buds, and we're walking through, and we see this old leather-faced, worn hat man, farmer. As we're walking through his fields, his name is Ed Bolthouse. Ed Bolthouse, I remember him. And he came up to us as we're walking through his fields. Hey, boys, how would you like to be hired on as a picker? We said, absolutely. Can we make money? Yeah, green money. If you'll pick, I need pickers. I got green peas growing, and I need pickers. You got to get up with the sun, man. You got to get up early. 9 years old, summertime, you know. Oh, I was into it. And Jack Kitts, he's into it. And we went there to Ed Bolthouse Farm, and they gave us a basket, 9 years old, and I'm just picking peas. Because the faster you pick those peas and turn them in, the more money you're going to get. And we're picking, picking, picking. We got done with the peas and the beans, and we picked the beans. And I'd go home at night, and I'd go to bed and close my eyes, and all I saw was green beans and green peas. Literally, I couldn't stop seeing them. They were before my eyes. But then I went and turned that in, and I got those green dollars. And I saved those up, and I liked those green dollars, and I worked hard. You know, Jesus said, if you'll pick, you'll receive wages for it. I believe God has people give to this church because we're picking. I believe God will give things to pickers, blessings. And the greatest thing he can give us is people getting saved. And I just think about it. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, they were going off to get food. And if you have a dinner, people come to a dinner. Amen. I see Matt's class. He has a lasagna dinner at McWhorter's house. And Friday, September 11th, 5:30 p.m. And bring your appetite and all that. And that's good. We have these things. But a lot of people come to a meal, but they won't come to pick. They won't pick. And I'm just saying that Jesus had his disciples. They were going to get food. They were excited about eating. How many of you are excited about eating after this message? How many of you want me to cut them? No, don't say that. But I like food too. I'm looking forward to a Labor Day picnic tomorrow, Marlene. And I bought My wife said, get me 5 cans of green beans. So I got her these big cans like that. But I didn't get her green beans. I got her baked beans because I knew what she meant when she said green beans. I've already picked enough green beans. I know. So baked beans. And I got her the baked beans and got her cabbage. And we're going to have a picnic in our yard. Our family will come. No doubt my son will come with his kids. And I'm going to enjoy that food. But listen to me. I couldn't enjoy the food if I didn't pick the harvest. I mean, if any man won't work, neither shall he what? Eat. Jesus said, right now, I have a harvest to get. And the Bible says that if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And I like it when folks come out Thursday night. When I was there Thursday night for soul winning at 6 o'clock last Thursday for summer soul winning. We'll be there this Thursday. And I saw a lot of people out. And I said, that's great. I'm glad that we have a soul winning church. We have pickers that are going out to pick. And I got to lead somebody to the Lord. I got to meet a couple and give them tracts and give them the message. I'm so thankful we have pickers that are out there doing that on a Thursday night in this church. But I get troubled when nobody comes down the aisle on a Sunday morning. For a few weeks, we haven't had that. And that won't do, right? The more that go out, the more will come and be gathered into the barn before the harvest is past, before the summer's ended, and then the fall harvest is gathered in, because when the frost comes heavy, you can't get it in anymore. It's too late now. And that's what happened here. What about you as a picker? Do you need to get involved as a picker? You have the opportunity to gather the harvest. You can help the pickers and pray for the pickers. You can give finances to the bus ministry. And how about the barn? I think the barn's being fixed up here. We're about $6,000 in the red, but we're already fixing it up. We're going to have a Joash chest in the fall and give toward the building. And you have opportunity to help the barn. The men's bathroom's being fixed. The ladies' bathroom was fixed. The front's being fixed. The church, the barn. Because you got to have a barn to gather it in. You got to have the barn or middle-class people to say, what kind of thing is this here? And if they don't get saved, they don't come, then we're not going to reach the harvest. We need that. We want that. Are you part of that? What about you as a picker? But what about you as the people of God? The people of God. The Bible says here in Jeremiah 8:20, the harvest is past, the summer's ended, we're not saved. We're talking about God's people. God's people were the people that Jeremiah was preaching to, the chosen people of God. And today that would be, you're a born-again Christian, you're a child of God, you're going to heaven. And God's people in Jeremiah, they failed to take advantage of what he preached to them. You know, the Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. You know, there are things in my life that I have been warned about. And God said, I want you to repent of this and to get it right. And I've hardened my neck. I've made excuses. And when you do that, my friends, you lose your opportunity as a child of God for certain blessings. And you can never get it back. You can lose money and get it back. You can lose goods and get them back, perhaps. But you can never lose time and get that time back. I remember going to Texas with Dr. Jack Hiles, a great preacher and harvester of souls. And we were there in Dealey Plaza where John F. Kennedy was shot. And we were looking at that whole scenario there. And he was saying, you know, something happened here at Dealey Plaza to me as a teenager. He said, I was born again. I was going to high school. And my friends in the high school had invited me to the prom. And we were going to have a prom. I went to a public school. And they had it planned for me to take a girl, because each of them had a date. But they had a girl picked out that was a very whorish girl. And they had it planned. They had secreted booze into the car. And I never touched booze. But they had it in the car, and they had me with this girl. Now, Jack Hiles became a great independent fundamental Baptist preacher. I believe he's attacked much because he's done much. That's usually the way it works. Even after he's dead, the devil keeps attacking him, his memory. But the memory of the righteous is blessed. The memory of the just is blessed. Amen. So we're going to use his memory. And he was talking to us preachers that were there in Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas at that time. And I was one of them. And he was saying, yeah, I was there in a car, and we had I had the girl, my date, and I never drunk booze. And all of a sudden they pull out this big bottle of booze, and each one took a swig. And they gave it to the date, and she took the swig. And then the next one, he took it, and the date, and she took it. Finally, it came to my girl, the one I had as a date, and she took it. And then they gave it to me. I was the last one. And I started to put that bottle up to my mouth. All the eyes are on me. And he said, I put that bottle down. And I said, take me home. I've never touched this, and I'm not going to do it. And they started saying, oh, come on, little Lord Fauntleroy. Come on, little Lord Fauntleroy. You just go ahead and take a little bit of this. He said, take me home. And when he went home, there was his mother, who his father had left, and he was an alcoholic. There was his mother on her knees. Oh, God, don't let him get into sin tonight. Don't let him spoil his testimony tonight. And he came in, he saw his mother on her knees praying. Who's clicking that? Stop it. Stop it. And on the knees praying. And Brother Hiles looked at us, the preachers, and he had had the world's largest Sunday school. And he had a huge international youth conference of teens that came and were called to preach and live for God. He had such great blessings. And he looked at us and he said, if I would have taken that drink, there would have gone youth conference gone. There would have gone the world's largest Sunday school gone. Now, he wouldn't have lost his salvation, but he would have lost blessings. He would have lost opportunities. And I believe that there comes a point in your life where God deals with you about something and you don't do it, and he says, all right, it's over. I'm not going to do it. Now you're going to suffer the consequences. Just like Judas suffered the Babylonians coming. It's going to cut your blessings. Boy, we shouldn't want that. I remember evangelist Tom Williams, and Tom Williams, a great man of God, a great man of prayer. And I remember he got convicted. God wants me to get up early in the morning to pray, you know, right around 5 a.m. And he said, I tried to get up early and pray. And he said, I've nearly killed myself. He said, I tried to follow these great men of God to have their blessings and get up early and pray and read my Bible. He said, but I nearly killed myself. He said, then I realized something. What was it? I read on and realized that those great men of God went to bed early. They didn't stay up far into the night watching the square glare of a computer screen or texting or looking at things they shouldn't be looking at on their phone. Perhaps you've gone to the altar and said, I'll put that down, I'll get to bed, but you keep doing it, and you're shrinking your blessings. He that being often reproves, you stiffen your neck or harden your neck, and shall suddenly be destroyed. and that without remedy. September 21st, the end of summer's coming. Then the harvest frosts are going to come, and then it will be too late to gather in the fields. 1 Corinthians 3 says that if as a believer you don't do what the Lord says and you keep failing, then your works, where you're wasting your time, your works after you were saved, you're not saved by works, but you're saved to do God's work. Amen. And you're doing all these works, and they're all going to be burned up in the fires of the judgment seat of Christ. And what a sad thing that you're saved only as by fire. Let me say something to you, believers, the people of God. What about the pickers? What about the people of God? It says in Colossians 3:23 these words, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that ye shall receive the what? Reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ." Are you going to get your inheritance? You ever heard of somebody being cut out of a will? Raise your hand if you have. Do you want to be cut out of the will? It says the reward of the inheritance. You're serving Christ, and he can give you the inheritance or take it away. You say, what is the inheritance? Well, Jesus talked about the reward of giving you responsibilities in his coming kingdom when he rules the earth. But if you fail now to invest the time he gives you in his harvest, the money he gives you in his harvest, the talents he gives you in his harvest, then you're causing shame, and you'll lose your coming right to rule with him in his kingdom. Bible says in Luke 19, "Well, thou good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities." Luke 19:17. To another who had been faithful in what the Lord gave him less, you know, time and ability and so forth, he said, you have less, but be thou ruler over 5 cities. But to the one who represented the unfaithful believer in that parable, he'd taken his money and he hid it in the ground. And I found out God is a capitalist. He's not a communist. He doesn't give you an allowance just for hanging around. God's not like that. God's a capitalist. He said, take that. The guy that wouldn't put it in the bank and get usury or interest on it, didn't invest it in the market, get it, you take that and give it to the guy that has the 10 cities. In other words, I told our men, when I was telling this message to the men, the teachers, Sunday school teachers, and so forth, I said, listen to me. I said, don't let anybody take your crown. I said, and you want to give up your crown, and you don't want to go soul winning, you don't want to get involved in bus ministry, you don't want to do this, go ahead, I'm 76, give it to me, I'll take it. I'll take it. I'm ready for it. I want an abundant interest into that everlasting kingdom. I want to be spurred on to love and good works. And Jeremiah said to the people of God, you've wasted the opportunity. It's past. Don't do that. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. In other words, this truth about Jeremiah and those people, how they missed out, they're for you. So you can go to school on them. So you can learn from them. But what happened? Jeremiah had to write the Lamentations because what's the thing that causes me to lament? When people waste opportunities. Time you can never get back. Eventually your money, because you can't take that with you. and your abilities when you don't use them for Almighty God. Thank God for Jose. He can sing, and he's using that for Almighty God. And I asked him about teaching in gym, and he said, yes, I'll teach in gym. Don't let anybody, though, take your crown. Because it's for the pickers. It's for the people of God. And it's so important that you do that. And then, lastly, what about you people of the world? Not about only you pickers and the people of God, but what about you people of this world? Jeremiah preached to many people who had the opportunity to repent of their idols and turn to the God of the Bible and to put their faith that he was going to send the Savior to save them. But what did they do? They refused. They refused the opportunity. And the Lord said that, what will it profit if a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? I remember reading that as a young teenager, and I was working for money and wanted to make a lot of money, and I thought that would bring me success in this world, you know, to have business and money and be a millionaire and all this stuff. And I was into that. And then as a teenager, I read what Jesus said, what will it profit if a man gain the whole world? But then you die and go to hell, and your soul's in hell. And it came home to me. And I started to realize, I don't want to go to hell. Do you realize that today you could die and go to hell if you're not saved? And I realized the most important thing is not how much money you make. It's, are you a picker? Have you become a child of God? Have you escaped this world? And most people are going to die and go to hell in this world. Most people. And it says in Luke chapter 16, there's a man, and what happened is you get this man in Luke 16, and you get a live shot with an audio feed of what he says right after he dies. And I'm going to give you the live feed of this man in hell and what he's saying in this audio shot right after he died. He said, someone cool my tongue, for I'm in torments in this flame. You said, how do I know that's true? Because Jesus Christ told it. He wanted relief. Do you know that he was not even allowed to have a drop of water on his tongue? And he was a rich man in this life. He had everything to drink, not just water, all every kind of drink you can imagine. But he couldn't even get a drink of water. And when he realized how bad it was, he became a better soul winner than many of you, because he said, then please send people to my five brothers. I don't want them to come here and be here with me. This is horrible. This is horrible. And he was told, they have the Word of God, the Bible. They have the preaching of the Bible, just like you have right now. And just like that man who's in hell, and we got the live feed of the audio of what he, so you'll be there tomorrow, or today, or next week, or soon, whenever it happens. It happens. Every time I click my fingers, people are dying and going to hell. And once you're there, there's no way. The summer is now ended. The harvest is now past. And if you're not saved, you can never get saved out of hell. It's eternal. But what do you have? You have the gospel in the Word of God. You have the man of God inviting you. And he's inviting you in the name of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, that you could have a home in heaven forever. And he wants you to receive him. It's a free gift.
Thank you, God.
And you accept it by faith. And the Lord says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and not you might be saved, thou shalt be saved. And if you're saved, you should be willing to come forward and say, I just accepted him. I want to profess faith in him publicly. Because that shows it's in your heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe it in your heart, you should be willing to publicly profess it. Or I doubt whether it's real. This morning, there is a message. What will you do in harvest time? What about you pickers? The time is now. What about you people of God? This is your time. Now is the time. This is the place. We are the people. Some of you may need to join in with the farmer and get like I did with Ed Bolthouse and say, I want to be part of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I want to join it so I can take the Lord's table with it. I want to give tithes and offerings to it. I want to be involved in soul winning ministry. I want to be here in church more than I have been. What about you pickers? What about you people of God? And what about you who need to be saved? People of the world, will you take the offer and say, Jesus, I receive you. And I'll let others know this morning that I've accepted you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. Every eye closed.